This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Give everybody a sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. You know, in California, one in four high school students drops out of school. Many studies show that the achievement gap among students begins as early as preschool and possibly even earlier. Research also shows that students who have help from a parent or another adult do far better in school. Today, we'll discuss the causes of the achievement gap and what can be done about closing it. I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here each week to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, childcare providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. The racial and socioeconomic achievement gap highlights our failure to do what's needed so all children can grow up successful. The gap is getting bigger and bigger, said Linda Murray, acting executive director of EdTrust West and former superintendent of the San Jose Unified School District. She says poor students and students of color attend schools where teachers are less experienced, classrooms are under-resourced, and academic expectations are lower. These students are taught less, so they underperform. Do you agree? What do you think the issues are? And let us know if you see change in your community. And parents, what do you do to make a difference? Call us at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. We want to hear from you this morning. This program is made possible in part by funding from the United Way of the Bay Area. Joining me in studio are three great guests this morning. We have Lorne Needle. He's the Vice President of Community Investment at United Way of the Bay Area, where he oversees United Way's grant making and program work in San Francisco, San Mateo, and Marin counties. He's worked in the youth and education field for over 20 years in programs such as youth development, school link services, health and prevention, and community development, and he's taught in the School of Education at Stanford on youth development and policy. And also, this subject is important to him for another reason. His wife is a second-grade teacher. Lorne Needle, welcome back to our show.
Good morning, Rona. It's great to be with you again.
Thank you. Also with us is Scott Moore. He's a senior policy advisor for Preschool California and co-owner of a private Montessori school in Oakland. He worked for 15 years as a social entrepreneur in education policy and management, and he is also the former director of early education for the nonprofit Kidango, where he supported over 50 child development and Head Start centers. He has a four-year-old son, Duncan. Good morning.
Good morning, Rona. It's great to be here.
And also with us is Pilar Mejia. She's worked with the San Francisco Unified District for over 30 years. Her participation started as a parent when her sons attended San Francisco Public Schools. Pilar started also as a teacher's aide and then went on to be a teacher and then a principal at Cesar Chavez Elementary School. She also worked at the district in the multilingual department, and she leads the family and community engagement team. Her volunteer work includes Teachers for Social Justice, the California Association for Bilingual Education, and the Latin American Teachers Association. Pilar Mejia, so glad you can join us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, here's what I want to do this morning. We went out into the community and we talked to some people about what they thought about the achievement gap. Let's take a listen, and then I'm going to have each of you respond.
I'm assistant producer Falsha Zuschlag, and this week I spoke with the community about their feelings on the achievement gap.
I've heard about the achievement gap, and I think it affects everybody in one way or another when there is a clear difference between how some kids are doing in school and how some aren't.
I actually do know about the achievement gap. I think the gap itself, I think it has to do a lot with how the parents raise the children.
It's shocking to me that having grown up somewhere where there is such little diversity, someone could lead their whole life without seeing the achievement gap. And then you come somewhere like Oakland where you do have diversity in many different areas and the achievement gap is impossible to miss.
Well, I think to close the achievement gap, it really does have to be a partnership between schools, teachers, parents, and communities.
The thing that teachers could do to help is set up like more tutoring days, because the older you get, the more you need help from your teachers.
I think the best way is if you educate your children from a young age, you gotta be positive and engage them in a positive environment.
I guess the first step would be building awareness, and that's huge in both parents and teachers and staff at schools. So getting volunteers who care and are aware of the achievement gap to volunteer in schools, or educating parents about it so that they can start at home as well.
We need more classes like AVID. It's a college preparatory class. If I didn't take that class, I wouldn't know a lot of things about college, so we need more classes like that.
It's a great thing that more and more schools and school districts are realizing that for them to deal with the achievement gap is they're going to have to be working with communities and parents of children who aren't even in school yet, that they're really understanding that kids are coming to school and there's already a gap in kindergarten.
For Childhood Matters, this is Felsha Zuschlag.
Thank you, Felsha, and thank you to the voices of the people in the community. This is a complex subject, and we really do need to look at the root causes and also what needs to be done. So we want to hear from you this morning, 1-877-372-KIDS. And I'm going to go to my guests now. Lauren, let's start with you in response to what we just heard.
Well, I think people had their finger on a lot of the issues that are creating the achievement gap. I don't meet very many parents who don't want their children to do well in school and in life. And I don't think this is a question of caring about that. It's a question of how. How do we do something about this? How do we do something at the level of community where we're supporting our schools? How do we do something within schools that teachers and administrators and others can do? And how do we help parents do something to help their children succeed? And I think we have to bear in mind the environment that we're in, where California has less money for its students in public schools than any other state in the country.
Isn't that, it's just amazing when you say that again.
Well, we are investing less per pupil in our students than any other state in the country when we are, by a lot of measures, the wealthiest state in the country.
It's amazing.
It is. It's astonishing, and it tells you that we've got some work to do. We've got parents who are having to work harder to make the income they need to make the cost of living, which means less time with your kids. And we are blessed with a lot of immigrants who bring a wealth of diversity to our state. But we know from lots of research that being an English language learner is challenging for kids in our schools.
Yes, and for the parents who are here, too. And there's so many issues around that that we need to talk about. Thank you for that, Lauren. Scott Moore, what stood out for you?
A lot stood out for me, but obviously the comments around educating children from a young age. What we know is that the achievement gap is there before children start school. And up to 80% of it, where it is in third grade, is there when they start kindergarten before they even walk through the door the first day. So how we address early childhood education in this state is critical. And we know that that's an intervention that works. There's a lot of exciting pilot programs that offer high-quality preschool to the children who need it most, like English language learners, that are proven to work, that are proven to raise test scores.
So San Francisco, San Mateo,
yeah,
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara, Alameda.
Alameda,
absolutely.
I know that all of the first fives have been very involved with that.
And, that's right.
And you know, we missed getting preschool for all. We missed universal preschool a few years ago.
That's true, but, when Prop 82 went down.
Right, but you haven't stopped. Trying,
absolutely
right?
Not. Absolutely not. Okay. And the state is committed and understands the importance of it. But of course, given our budget crisis, it's hard to make the kind of investments that we know pay off later on.
You see, that's the part, Scott. I mean, I know we can say it's hard, but when you know that the determination of how many prison beds, you know, to build is dependent on the reading levels at, what, third or fourth grade, you know, I still get so riled up when I think about how much money we're putting into prisons, and yet we don't have money for quality preschool.
I know.
It
I often say, we can build preschools now or prisons later. It's your choice. And that is the reality.
Yeah, yeah. So that's key in this subject is starting early so that there's an even playing field when kids get to kindergarten.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Good. Pilar Mejia, this is something you've been passionate, this subject you've been passionate about for a long time. What stood out for you in this, and also what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't really like to call it an achievement gap because somehow that really points to a deficit in the students. I like to call it a resource gap.
Good.
There are not the same resources in certain communities than in others, and that's really what we're talking about. Test scores are more determined by the income level than by anything else. Of children. So I think children do come to school ready to learn, and it's really the environment in the school that does not really embrace who they are, where they're at, and how they can discover their own brilliance that is really keeping certain children in their place, because who's going to clean the toilets after all?
Well, let me ask you this. I agree that there's a resource gap, and I also know that some children, as they're entering kindergarten, have had experiences of parents reading to them and taking them places and talking to them and singing with them, and then there are other kids who have less of that. Would you say that that does influence whether what they do in kindergarten and first grade?
But again, it's resources in the community. So you can either put more resources into the community to allow families to be able to engage in those kinds of activities, having programs that involve families in that way, or you say, you know, here in school is where we're going to fix these kids.
Good.
And I really don't like that attitude, especially in terms of many of the schools, especially preschools, do not promote the home language. Everything's in English because these kids have to do it. And so then they end up losing and not even being able to communicate in their own families effectively.
So it's a real community issue, and it's an issue of how do we engage all – how do we provide resources to all families so that they feel engaged also, right?
Yeah. Really, schools are just replicating what's happening out there in the world.
Well, we want to hear from you, 1-877-372-KIDS. A lot to talk about here. We're going to start with a call now from Jamelia in Berkeley. Good morning.
Morning. Good morning.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you. I'm a parent of an African-American child. I'm an African-American parent in Berkeley, and my child is 2 and will be going into the kindergarten in 2012. And my concern is recently there was an article in the Oakland Tribune and also in the Daily Planet about Berkeley's achievement gap, and that we have the highest achievement gap in the state of California. So I am really concerned as a parent and trying to become more involved around what I need to do. And I heard the speaker say that the achievement gap, it sounds like it blames the child, but I am really concerned as a parent because some of the information that I've received says that, at least for African-American community, that it does go across class, and that in private schools and even, you know, more affluent black families still are, their children still are performing not at the same rate as white families in the same, white students in the same class, and that parental involvement is not as significant for black families. So all of these are concerns where I feel like as black families we do need to know, just because we make more money, it doesn't necessarily provide that buffer for our child, so we can look at increased parent involvement, participating in the PTAs, taking time off of work to come into the classroom, and not just assuming because I've been diligent in getting my child into a good school that the school is then going to make sure my child gets everything I need, but for the parent to continue to show up and be involved, because that's the only way to ensure that our children are able to get a comparable education, understand the information that's being raised, so that teachers have a connection with us to make sure that they can come to us if they have any problems or concerns.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I just want to say right off here that you sound like the kind of parent who's not going to let your child not get what he needs.
So, yeah, I hope so.
So that's one thing. I mean, I really get that. Let me see if response. Lauren, Scott, who wants to?
Jamelia, I would just start by saying you absolutely sound like the kind of parent that we need involved in the schools. And part of the reason there's such a large achievement gap in Berkeley is that there's some kids who are doing phenomenally well, and then there are the rest of the kids who are far behind them. But it's partly because Berkeley is doing a job with some of its kids. It goes back to what Pilar said earlier about resource gap and support for that. And I would say that there are some things concerned parents can do. One thing is that a parent like yourself, who's clearly educated on the issue and paying attention, you need to be talking to the school administrators in the school district and asking them what they're doing and asking them what they're doing about resources for the kids who are struggling. Secondly, your kids' teachers can be real allies, and thinking with them about the particular issues for African-American students, your kids' friends, et cetera, and trying to work on those in a supportive way, I think will make a difference.
What else? Scott and then Pilar?
Well, the fact is a parent is a child's first teacher and the most important teacher. And so focusing on parent involvement and engaging with your child, playing with your child, reading with your child, nothing is more important than that. But also getting your child into a good quality preschool is critical and is shown to close what we call the readiness gap before it becomes an achievement gap. And there was a recent RAND research that shows that only 13% of the children who need it most are in high-quality preschool in California. We've got to change that.
Pilar?
Well, for me, does the child see him or herself in the classroom? Is who they are a part of what's being taught, or is this a part of how they are supposed to obey and follow directions and learn what they're supposed to learn, give back the correct answers? My granddaughter just started kindergarten, and quite frankly, it's quite oppressive because she's sitting there the whole day after being in a very appropriate pre-K setting where she was allowed to discover her own brilliance and creativity and be a problem solver. And now she's sitting there all day trying to be a good girl, giving the correct answers all day. And frankly, being asked questions that have one correct answer. And it's not about who she is and her life and her her language, because we speak only Spanish at home, and her culture. And children, especially African-American children in this country, do not see themselves reflected in the curriculum, in the life of the school. So why should they participate?
That's a great point. Jamila, I'm thinking that, again, this is where parents and grandparents can come in and say, look at the posters, look at the books, look at the whole atmosphere, and in a sense insist that something changed. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, if I can add one more thing.
Yeah.
At one point, we had a teenager living with us, and this is before we were parents, and we worked closely with Berkeley Unified, and one of the things that was difficult for me was, he had his own series of issues, and but I was very, very diligent in terms of making it to the classroom, talking to the teachers. I developed a weekly chart, and in the end, when finally the teachers could no longer point to his issues, the responses that I was getting is, we really don't know how to support that kind of student. And I think I ended up pulling him out of Berkeley High and putting him in another school that didn't provide him with the academic support he needed, but they were teachers that were trained to be more supportive of kids that just didn't really, I won't go into all of that. But
yes,
I think that can be concerning for a parent that isn't aware of what other resources. And so it's just, I think that's the other thing that's difficult, is even when schools provide trainings and they have these teacher conferences, I just think that finding ways to connect with teachers so that they better understand not just what the issues are, but how to support the kids in their classroom.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Long way.
You're absolutely right that teacher training in a way that I think both Pilar and you are talking about is like how to, bring culture into the classroom, but also look at kids with special needs. And then kids, I don't like that word sometimes. All children have special needs. All children are individuals and they need to be engaged and they need to be understood. And so I think you have your work cut out for you. I want to send you in the meantime a nice pass for Habitat. It's a family guest pass. There it is in Berkeley. And I really appreciate your calling. And we're talking about resource gap, achievement gap, resource gap. In a moment, we'll take your call.
Join the dialogue.
Share your thoughts.
Add your feedback.
All Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Brought to you in part by First Five Santa Clara County.
Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Join the fun in Sausalito at the Bay Area Discovery Museum's annual Goblin Jamboree fundraiser. There will be a petting zoo, haunted house, pony rides, and more. Today, October 18, from 10:30 to 4. For more information, call 415-339-3900. That's 415-339-3900. Enjoy a family block party in downtown San Francisco in the Yerba Buena Art District. Activities include carousel rides, jump houses, a climbing wall, and more. Today, October 18, from 11 to 4. For more information, call 415-614-3216. That's 415-614-3216. San Francisco parents, engage with over 100 San Francisco preschools and child-related services at Preschool Preview Night. Wednesday, October 21, from 5:30 to 8. Call now to register. 415-359-2416. That's 415-359-2455. Oakland families, sing along with musical storyteller Ashiba at Play Cafe. Ashiba will share songs of hope and happiness. Friday, October 23 at 6:30. For more information, call 510-638-3712. That's 510-638-3712. Contra Costa families, check out the Danville Fall Crafts Festival. There will be a parade, trick-or-treating, live music, and more. Saturday and Sunday, October 25 and 26, from 10 to 5. For more information, call 925-837-4400. That's 925-837-4400. For additional information and more events, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Zan West.
The saying goes, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Nowhere does this apply more than with our youngest children. That's why First Five Monterey County is working with local organizations to ensure families have access to physical, mental, and oral health services, parenting education, assistance with special needs, and literacy classes. First Five Monterey County programs are developed for the specific needs of our community and deliver critical prevention services to families with young children. To learn more, visit www.firstfivemonterey.org. That's first, the number five, Monterey.org.
Finding help in the Bay Area is easier than ever before. Dial 211 to speak with a trained caring specialist who will match your needs with local services, including childcare, rent assistance, counseling, job services, health care, food, and so much more. Dial 211 for free confidential help, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Help starts here. Dial 211. 211 is a service of United Way, Eden I&R, and the Contra Costa Crisis Center.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
Brought to you in part by Every Child Counts. First Five, Alameda County.
Back to your host, Rona Renner.
Today we're talking with Lauren Needle, Vice President of Community Investment at United Way of the Bay Area, Scott Moore, Senior Policy Advisor for Preschool California, and Pilar Mejia, Educator and Advocate at the Family and Community Engagement Team at the San Francisco Unified School District. We're talking with you, 1-877-372-KIDS. I'm going to take a call, but just I want to mention that there's a benefit for the Greater Good Science Center. It's coming up on Friday, October 23rd at the Zella Playhouse. And authors Michael Lewis and Dasher Keltner are going to be talking about greed, games, and goodness. We're going to give out a pair of tickets to a caller if you want to join them for a great evening of lively conversation. Michael Lewis is known for his humor and commentary. He's the author of Liar's Poker, Moneyball, and Home Game, An Accidental Guide to Fatherhood. And he'll talk with Keltner about the economic meltdown, sports, and parenthood. Keltner is the director of the Greater Good Science Center and also the author of Born to Be Good. So for more information, go to greatergood.berkeley.edu. And also let our producer know if you'd like to be in the drawing of two tickets that's worth $50 to go on October 23rd. 1-877-372-KIDS. Let's take a call now from Paul from Fremont. Good morning, Paul. Oh, it's Paula. Hi, Paula.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, you're welcome.
So what do you want to say about this important subject?
My opinion with the achievement gap and how can we close the achievement gap is having parents, you know, being more involved in the schools with their kids. Learning more about the curriculum that they are learning, and then also just being there for them, you know, and helping them and finding out their parent right as a parent and how can they do it? How can they, you know, to get together we can do change, you know, and finding out. Sorry.
That's okay. Sounds like there's a lot going on in the morning, huh?
Right. Yeah. And then
Paula, let me ask you a question for a minute. You know, parents' involvement is so important. Do you have young children?
Yes, I do. I have four children, and pretty soon will be I'll have five.
Oh, wow. So you understand this. How do you find time to be involved?
Yeah, that's you know what? I was thinking about that last night. I'm a full-time parent, working mother, and I'm in two boards. And there's always time. If you want something, you'll find the time. I know it might seem hard and difficult because you have to come home and make sure your kids are doing their homework and feed them and everything. But it can happen. If you really want to do it, it will happen.
Wow. So, Pilar, what do you think of that in terms of parent involvement?
Absolutely. Unless the families are in the schools, nothing's going to change significantly. And the main thing is that parents have to be advocates for their children. If the parents are not going to do it, who will? We right. have to stop looking for the problem in the child. Parents have to say, well, what's going on in the school? And that's really the key thing. We have to find out where the situation is in the school, the interaction between the school and the child that's not working, and whose responsibility is that? Well, it's a joint responsibility, but the parents have to push back into the system.
Lauren?
And there are great examples of how schools can help parents do that. In Redwood City, there's a terrific organization called Redwood City 2020, and they have parent involvement facilitators in a number of the schools in Redwood City, and they help parents go through three steps. The first step is just to be at the school, get familiar with it, get services the parent and the family might need. The second step is to help the parent be involved in the classroom, in their child's learning, et cetera. But they go a step further. They want to support and train the parents to be the leaders who are on the PTA, who are talking to the community about what the schools need. And it's a terrific model. And Paula, thank you for what you're doing, because it's parents like you that are stepping up in Redwood City.
Good, Paula. And do you have a support system of how you get this work done?
What was the question? I'm sorry.
Do you have a support system of how you get this work done? Do you work with other parents?
I do. I try to get other parents involved in the school.
Good.
I also with Blan, they give trainings, and that's how I learned about my rights and how to do change in the school.
So that's parent, and Plan is parent,
Parent Leadership
Action Network. Uh-huh. Good.
And we also have another one with Nuestra Casa in the East Palo Alto area.
Good. Good, good, good.
They're the ones that have helped me.
Well, that's the thing, is get involved with other parents. There's a lot of power in numbers. I'm going to give you a pass to the Children's Discovery Museum of San Jose. It's a great place to go with your children and have some fun, because you're a hardworking mama and you also need to have some fun. Right, Paula?
Right.
Well, thank you so much for calling this morning.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Childhood Matters.
Childhood Matters.
Tips for parents, direction for the kids.
Childhood Matters.
With Rona Renner.
Let's take more calls. 1-877-372-KIDS. I think we have a call now from Kelly in San Pablo. Hi, Kelly. Kelly, can you shut your radio off, turn your radio off? Oh, you know what? We can't hear you, Kelly. We're going to have to try again. Let's try another call. We have Diane now, and Diane's joining us from some city. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Nurse Rona. This is Diane from San Francisco. I actually met you last year at preschool for preview night.
Oh, good.
I am an early childhood educator and parent educator for City College of San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I'd like to speak to the issue of teacher training.
Okay.
I truly believe that one of the problems is that our elementary school teachers have no early childhood education training.
Yes.
And as an early childhood educator, we are trained to work not only with cognitive issues, but also social and emotional issues that elementary school teachers are not trained to observe or to realize. And I think that is a lot of the problem.
So, Diane, in a sense, if there was some cross-training, my thought about this, too, is that if some kindergarten teachers could come to preschool settings and learn from the preschool teachers, and some preschool teachers could go to the kindergarten settings and see what's happening there, it would really help a lot. Scott, she's bringing up an important point, isn't she?
Absolutely, Diane. You're right on the mark. And in fact, one thing that we're looking at from a policy perspective is how can we create a P-3 teacher credential that really is developmentally focused. The sorry fact is that because children, when they start school, so many of them start behind, there's tremendous pressure now in kindergarten and kindergarten teachers to help kids catch up. But we know through research that when children start behind, they tend to stay behind, and that achievement gap just widens and widens every year. Instead of focusing early, before they start school, in a developmentally appropriate, high-quality way, so children not only start ready, but they love learning, and they should be able to continue that throughout their K-12 experience.
Absolutely. And what Diane said here, Pilar, is the whole idea of that social, emotional response to children that happens when they're young and sometimes gets missed once they go to kindergarten.
That's right. And it's it's really based in good brain research. What helps children develop and grow? And if they're in an environment that they feel threatened in, they're not. In fact, if they're in an environment that they can't move around in, there's a lot of research on brain development and the importance of movement. And yet, as soon as they get into kindergarten, they have to prepare them for first grade, right? Because
right.
in first grade, they have to prepare
right.
them for second grade, right? Because they're going to get the test then. You know, come on. Give me a break.
Yeah,
what
them,
do we
let
mean?
Them
they,
be
are,
kids.
They do not start behind. You know, it's not a race. It's a journey. They're brilliant, and they just have to be allowed the resources, the room, the nature, the places to be able to move and do what they need as children.
It reminds me of the show we did a few weeks ago with Alison Gopnik, The Philosophical Baby, and it's a beautiful book.
Right.
And you can listen to the show online at childhoodmatters.org. You know, children are brilliant, and we need to have environments that allow them to be that way. Diane, thank you for your call. Do you have some kids in your life? Would you like some tickets to the Exploratorium?
Actually, all my kids are grown, but thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
A family with young children who could enjoy them.
Thanks, Diane, for your call. Important
thank
point.
You.
Let's take another call. We have Alango now from Vacaville with us. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, Nasrona. How are you doing today?
I'm great. What would you like to say about this?
Well, me as being a parent, my child is 11 years old at this time, and he's an out-of-state child in Kansas. So it's hard for me to be an active parent, as for say, as your callers were saying, with the teachers in the school and all that, which I try, but it's very difficult. And I'm getting the sense that, you know, I'm not getting the truth from the teachers when I do call, because I'm not the primary parent. And, you know, they always refer me, well, talk to his mother. And
that's a hard situation, Alango.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not getting the truth from her. I don't feel that I'm getting the truth from her.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering what resources might be out there to better equip me to be have a more proactive role in his
What a great question. You know, and I'm going to send you a book. I'm going to look for a book about books for children. I think there's a book, Deconstructing Penguins, it's called. One of the things that comes to my mind is that you and your son perhaps could read a book together, that you both start at the same time and you have phone conversations or email conversations about the book. You may not be able to have a lot of information or control over what the school's doing. And don't give up. Keep trying. But you also can think about how to stay connected over creative, important things like reading a book together and or even watching a program on the History Channel together and having conversations. Any other ideas here from my guests?
That's really a great idea, though, because really it's in that interaction around exciting and stimulating information or projects that you can have with your child that really helps them become a lifelong learner. Isn't that what you want? Not to do well in school, but become a lifelong learner.
So that's one idea, is to embrace something that you and your child can learn about, and you learn about it together, Alango, so that, you know, you have control where you can have control, but if you have no control, figure out what you can do. And then also have maybe a letter to your ex and say, you know, I understand we have our difficulties, but I'm just trying to get as much information as I can about our child. So if you can give me any information, I really ask you to do that.
Emailing is a great way to develop literacy skills.
Are you on any kind of Facebook, Alango?
No, not currently.
Not currently.
But I know I need to be.
Right, and your child's a little young. He's only 11. But at the same time, there are more ideas. And I'd be happy to talk with you off air also about this. You can email me at rona@childhoodmatters.org. Okay. It's a great question. Keep listening and some other ideas may come through, Alango.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Charlotte.
You're welcome. Thank you. Let's take another call. We have Kelly from San Pablo with us. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, good morning, Rona.
Good morning. And what would you like to say?
Well, I am a preschool educator, and I'm currently working on my master's in early childhood education. And one of the things we discussed about the achievement gap was some things that we can do as educators and in supporting parents to bridge the achievement gap was working on a vocabulary gap because of the 30 million word gap that so many of the young children have. Finding ways to build vocabulary was one of the key ways that we can help bridge that achievement gap. And I was just curious of what your panelists had comments about the vocabulary gap.
Interesting. Scott, anything you want to say about that?
Oh, the vocabulary gap is astonishing, and there's no question that that is one of the major reasons why it's so important that parents stay engaged with their children, read to their children, talk to their children, and that children have a high-quality setting, early childhood setting, before they start school, because it's those kinds of settings that promote vocabulary development. And it starts before the preschool age, too. Really, when you look at language development, so much of that happens within the first year of life, which is why parents are just so critical. And so it is so important that if we can't do it in that first year, we've got to do it as early as possible.
You know, this reminds me, Lauren, of that campaign that United Way had years ago. I forgot the name of it, but it was all about talking to kids. Mm-hmm. Go to the grocery store, talk to them about what you see.
I think you're thinking of Born Learning.
Born
Rona.
Learning, right.
And the central idea is just to use your home and your community as a classroom. So you can turn anything into a math opportunity. You can turn signs and labels in the grocery store into reading opportunities. Email, like Pilar mentioned, there are so many different things that you can just do with your child that are going to stimulate their learning and help them add words. I also want to mention that there's a great program that we're involved with called Raising a Reader, which does exactly what Scott says. It gets parents a nice, easy, effective way to build literacy with their kids and build the love of reading and learning with their child. And that's active in Alameda County. And if you were to call the 211 number, you could find out where it is.
Good. And we're about to go to break, but I know you have to say something about the language here.
Yeah, and just that it's not quizzing the kids what color is this, what color is that, let's count to 10, but it's having deep conversations, not asking questions that you already know the answer to, but asking those higher level thinking type questions, real conversations with children. That increases vocabulary.
And also know that if you have a young child, my grandson now is being cared for by someone who's Spanish speaking. So
yes.
He's learning Spanish and he's learning English and he loves it all and he's only 18 months, and we should really bring this richness to children. Kelly, thank you. And Kelly, you know, we have these passes to the Greater Good Science event on October 23rd at Zellerbach Playhouse with two great authors. Let our producer know whether you're interested in them, and if not, I'll give them away to someone else. Thank you, Kelly. Take care. We're talking about the resource gap. What is also known as the achievement gap for some people. We'll take your call in just a second.
pick up the phone and get involved.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
More with Rona Renner after this.
One of the hardest things a parent faces is how to set clear limits with love. Here are some tips to keep in mind. Have clear rules and expectations. Have reasonable consequences for misbehavior and acknowledge respectful behavior. And try to understand why your child is acting out. Is it stress or anxiety? For more information and tips on how to discipline your child, visit www.childhoodmatters.org. And remember that world peace begins at home. This message is brought to you by the David B. Gold Foundation.
In California, one in three children is overweight or at risk of becoming overweight. As a parent or caregiver, help stop this trend by making sure your child exercises regularly and eats right. Turn off the TV and encourage your child to play, run, skip, and jump. By building strong muscles and bones, kids are healthier and less likely to become overweight or develop diseases like type 2 diabetes. Also, make sure your child eats at least 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. For healthy, affordable recipe ideas, order a free copy of First 5 California's Yummy for Your Tummy mini cookbook by calling 1-800-KIDS-025. For more on healthy lifestyle choices, contact your local Bay Area First 5 or visit first5kids.org/bay.
This is Nurse Rona with news for parents, providers, and everyone who cares about kids. Childhood Matters is now podcasting. So many people have told me they love our show but can't listen on Sunday mornings. Now it's easy to get our shows on your iPod or MP3 player and take us with you. Sign up for podcasting today at childhoodmatters.org. And if you or someone you know speaks Spanish, click on the Nuestros Niños logo and learn about our sister show in Spanish with Dr. Marisol.
Did you know parents of newborns and young children are eligible to receive a free parenting kit? Each free kit for new parents is chock full of helpful information and resources for new and expecting parents on topics such as health, child development, and finding quality childcare. Get your questions answered and order your free kit today. Call 1-800-543-7025 to request a free kit. That's 800-543-7025. This message is brought to you by First 5 Alameda County.
Did you know that in San Francisco and the East Bay, 1 in every 5 children has been diagnosed with asthma? In fact, asthma is the most common reason kids are hospitalized in the Bay Area. At kidsdata.org, you can learn more about issues that affect the health and well-being of children in the Bay Area. Kidsdata.org provides easy-to-access information and resources for those who influence kids' lives. You can find data by region, topic, or demographic, such as ethnicity or age. Visit kidsdata.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the Lucille Packard Foundation for Children's Health.
We are children of the world, watching every day go by.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by First 5 Santa Clara County.
Here's more with Nurse Rona.
We're talking with Lorne Needle. He's the Vice President of Community Investment at United Way of the Bay Area, Scott Moore, Senior Policy Advisor for Preschool California, and Pilar Mejia, Educator and Advocate at the Family and Community Engagement Team at the San Francisco Unified School District. Before we continue, I want to let you all know that we're doing a fundraiser and birthday celebration on November 5th at the Terrace Room of the Lake Merritt Hotel. We'll be honoring Bay Area community champions like Rennell Brooks Moon, Wilma Chan, and Dr. Dan Delgado. We'll also have other Bay Area personalities there, such as Janelle Wang from View from the Bay. We're a nonprofit, and we need your support in raising money so we can continue to bring important information right into your home every Sunday. In November, it'll be 7 years that we're on the air and 6 years for our sister show, Nuestros Niños. You can find out more at our website at childhoodmatters.org. And, you know, the people at the Terrace Room are doing a great job with us, and I told them I would mention that they're having a Halloween favorite. It's a murder mystery dinner and show, The Curse of the Roland Groan, A Pirate's Revenge. You can enjoy cocktails, delicious three-course meal, dancing prizes, and lots of entertainment at the Terrace Room, and even dress up if you want to. You can mention Matey, and you'll receive a $10 discount on ticket prices. Go to 510-903-3771 or visit theterraceroom.com. They've been really great to work with for our event. So now back to our discussion regarding the achievement gap. Lauren, you know, we can't forget the idea of money. You know, part of this training that's needed, work that's needed is about money. We're not in such great shape here. What happened?
What happened is that we as a state made a choice not to invest in our children at the level that we need to. In New York City, they spend approximately $14,000 a child every year on public education. In California, even in San Francisco, something like half that. How do you expect to get the job done? How do you expect to help all these hardworking, struggling parents with less money? Part of the story of this year's bankrupt state budget and solving that is not only that we had to cut tens of billions of dollars in services, but we actually gave tax breaks to some of the largest companies operating in California. Now, you could make an argument that it's important to help those companies invest in jobs and economic growth in California, but it's actually true that for some of those companies, they're multinationals that barely employ anybody in California and weren't using that money in our state. And we have to question whether the dollars that went to them could go to our schools instead.
You know, I looked at the Chronicle a couple of days ago, and they had the math scores. And I was just shocked. We're like – there are two states that are lower than us on the API, I think it is, the math scores. I was like, what happened to California?
Yeah, this is not a mystery like the Terrace Room is offering us to solve. There's a very clear cause and effect here. We haven't devoted the resources. We haven't made the investments that we know work. And as a consequence, our children are not doing well compared to their counterparts around the country.
Thank you for that. 1-877-372-KIDS if you have something to add to the issues we're facing. And again, this achievement gap is reframed by Pilar here as a resource gap. And I think it's really important to understand that it starts really early. Scott, You've been working really hard. Scott Moore is with Preschool California. What else do you think families can do to have a child enter school so that the school is noticing who they are and so that they can thrive? Any other ideas here?
Well, I think, and Pilar has mentioned this before, children need to be ready for school, but schools need to be ready for children as well. And when children start off so far behind, it starts this catch-up game. And our elementary schools have become – and our teachers have had to focus so much with sort of a drill-and-kill mentality in order to teach to the test, in order to get those test scores up higher and higher and higher. And we're not seeing the kind of progress that we need. We see the achievement gap getting worse. And so what we need to do is we need to make sure that our children are ready and high-quality early learning experiences are proven to do just that. And that includes the types of experiences children have with their families and their parents.
Because you can have a child whose family wants to keep them at home at 3 and 4, and they could do just fine.
Absolutely.
So I think we also have to remember that some families and some cultures, you know, want to keep their children at home, but when they then enter kindergarten, they need to be understood for who they are also, right?
Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Pilar?
And one of the most important things to me is that we focus on assets, what children are bringing. Stop focusing on the deficit, what they don't have, this big gap. Let's look at what they do have and build from there. In fact, I bet a lot of students who come to school have a lot of knowledge and vocabulary that teachers don't have, whether it's African-American English that teachers don't understand, and then they actually look at that language as incorrect English, which it is not. It is rule governed. It is a real language. There's a lot of research on that by many linguists and for example, bilingual children. So, oh my God, they don't have the – well, yeah, but they have a lot of language. And how do you build on that and how do you support their own language? And also, what is the measurement? How are we measuring them?
That's really important, too.
These standardized tests – We've already told my granddaughter's teacher that we don't even want a report card, quite frankly.
You know, not in kindergarten, right?
Never. Yeah. And she's not going to take the CST, any of those tests, because we want her to be a lifelong learner. She's not going to be focusing on a test.
Pilar, how can people find out about the work you're doing in San Francisco? How would they reach you?
They can go on the website and look for the Family Community Engagement Team. On
Great.
Our website, sfusd.edu.
Thank you so much for your work you're doing in your family and your community. You've really been doing this for a long time. I really appreciate it. Laura Needle, how can people find out about some of the programs from United Way? And also, you know, you're just involved in a lot of things that are going on. What's the best way for people to find out more?
Two ways. They can go to our website, which is uwba.org. Or they can call 211, which is free and available 24 hours in multiple languages.
So if someone called 211 and they were looking for some help with finding a preschool, they can do that?
They can do all that.
They can do all of that. It's just one of those resources that we have to keep letting people know about, for
That's
sure.
That's right.
And a final word of on this subject for people?
I just want to say that teachers are working hard for the most part. They can't do it alone. Parents are doing the best they can. They can't do it alone. We as a community need to be involved. And that's one of the reasons United Way is promoting something called community schools, where we bring services and partners to schools and parents.
Very important. Thank you so much, Laura Needle, always. Scott Moore, a final word for us and how people can learn more?
Well, you can go to our website, which is preschoolcalifornia.org. And there's a lot of great resources on that site, including how to find and choose a high-quality preschool, one that's developmentally appropriate. That is one of the more important decisions if you do send your child to preschool that a parent will make. And then also how to become an advocate. Parents
Yes.
need to be advocates for their children.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Scott Moore with Preschool California. Thank you to my guests. And stay tuned. Don't go away. We have the community report about domestic violence now with our producer, Lacey Daniel. Thank you all so much.
I'm associate producer Lacey Daniel, and this is the Childhood Matters Community Report. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Nearly one in four women in the United States reports experiencing violence by a current or former spouse or boyfriend at some point in her life. Walesa Kinnerick, volunteer coordinator for La Casa de las Madres in San Francisco, says that domestic violence doesn't affect just one group of people.
Domestic violence includes a whole range of behaviors, from threats, intimidation, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse between two partners. That could be a husband and wife, two girlfriends, someone who's formerly dating a partner, someone who's currently dating a partner. It really happens within multiple different kinds of relationships. Domestic violence affects everyone, from very ranging income levels to different race and ethnicities and genders. Domestic violence is happening to every community.
Devorah Levine, coordinator at Zero Tolerance for Domestic Violence, wants people to know there is help out there.
If you yourself are in an abusive situation, you should know that you are not alone, and it's important to get support and reach out for help in a way that's safe for you. If you're a community member who knows someone who's in an abusive relationship, it's critical that you take on the role of listening and not judging the person who may be in an abusive situation or being abusive themselves.
Kinnerick says the La Casa 24-hour free hotline number is always answered by a live person and can be reached at 1-877-503-1850. That's 1-877-503-1850.
Anyone hearing this outside of San Francisco, where La Casa is based, we can still answer your questions and we'll refer you to an agency who's closest to you. And all of our services are completely free and completely confidential.
The National Domestic Violence Hotline number is 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-SAFE. For Childhood Matters, I'm Lacey Daniel.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media.
We are family.
Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.